The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer on the other side of the glass on this Thursday, February 27th, 2020. You know, we could all use a little bit of a laugh with this free fall that's been happening on Wall Street. You know, there is good news out there, Tom Fairbanks.
Well, please.
I mean,
let's hear it.
Well, if you really want to kind of bring a smile to your face, go to On This Day in History. And the thing that jumped out at me, Tom, on this day in 1867, I guess this was a real red letter day in dental history. The dental mallet was invented. Wow!
And you can only imagine what that might look like or what it means.
Yeah,
a mallet for dentists.
I guess that was the one. Yeah. Thank goodness that that particular tool is no longer being used.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, we're just trying to have a little bit of a bring some smile to somebody's face on a day that continues to have just really, really folks just freaking out about the coronavirus. We are on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening. On my website, buckmastershow.com, podcasts available for you. A lot of people do hear the podcast. You can find it very easily at buckmastershow.com. It's available 24/7, 790-24 if you'd like to join, 2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. Let's go now on the live line to the award number two, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Oh, trying to keep smiling here and look for the bright side of life. If that's a lot of people are pretty down right now about what's happening on Wall Street and in the country. About the coronavirus, cities in California are moving forward with declaring emergencies, even though they don't have any coronavirus cases. They're doing this to kind of, I guess, to grab the public attention as if people don't already know about what's going on. Do you see that happening, a public emergency declaration, symbolic in many ways, from you and your council members? Will that be addressed at the next council meeting?
I'm sure it will. I have some feelings about that. I think that before we get everybody, we can declare a state of emergency and make almost a symbolic gesture, or we can actually work on some things and put some things in place that can help protect people, as far as hand sanitizing, as far as distribution of materials at least distribution and gathering of resources to best protect us. So I think I'm more interested in the nuts and bolts part than just making. I mean, I'll of course go along. This is a very alarming pandemic around the world. It seems to be a disease that is undetectable as it travels. So I'm fine with making sure everyone's aware, but more importantly, I want to know what the nuts and bolts pieces are for us to protect our community health.
Will you be bringing this up at your next council meeting? Is next week, I believe.
I have not submitted a memo to put this on the agenda, but I think one of my colleagues is putting one together. I'm not sure if it's going to be on this agenda or not.
I want to talk a little bit about to say the least, you really, the quote you had in the paper about you're really, really upset at Pima County's decision to go ahead with this pay-as-you-go plan, arguing that Tucson residents should not have to pay or have their property taxes used to pay for improvements to the Pima County roads over the next 10 years. Your quote in the Arizona Daily Star, you called this absolutely vile. That was your quote. Why is it so bad?
So let's go over how it actually works, all right? Because before we get too into the weeds, there's a policy discussion that needs to be had. There's an education piece to the community that needs to be had. Number one is we actually give up north of $300, sometimes I think it's almost $400 per soul that lives in Pima County that doesn't live in an incorporated area. We give that up. We're supposed to get that money from the state. We don't get it, and instead it goes to Scottsdale to build more freeways. That's money for us. But because we have so many people living in unincorporated areas, we forego that money. We literally give it back to Phoenix. So let's start there. In the meantime, the cities of Tucson, Marana, and Oro Valley charge an additional sales tax percentage, and that's how they pay for roads and police and infrastructure and resources and parks, which is what all cities and towns are supposed to do. A county is not supposed to provide municipal services. That's not the county's job. The county's about land planning and about long-term designation for resources. It isn't about providing municipal resources. But that's what our county's chosen to do starting in the 1970s, and it's carried over the years, even though the state has actually made laws penalizing us to do so. Fast forward to now. Everybody pays their between $300 or $400 a year, excuse me. Well, everybody pays between $1,200 and $3,500 a year in the city of Tucson to property taxes. Now, part of that goes to the library district. That's fine. It's designated for the library district. And part of that goes to the community college, Pima Community College. Some of that goes to your school district, and a portion goes to Pima County's general fund. That's supposed to be used for courts, but instead they're charging the cities higher booking fees and court costs, and in the meantime, they're taking that money and providing municipal services to people who don't live in a town. If they want municipal services, they need to incorporate, form their own town, and provide municipal services. But they are not doing that. It is unfair for the city of Tucson taxpayers, who raise 50% of that amount of money, to pay for residential roads in those areas. It's just not fair. If they were using that money to pay for residential roads in all of the county and everybody got a portion, that would be different. But that's not what they're doing. So as a result, this is absolutely ludicrous. It is one of the biggest miscarriages of justice of all time. I am so disappointed in the entire process. I can't even tell you. I can tell you this. I am holding back my frustration and trying to keep my tone and tenor honest and good. But this is not right. It isn't even close to right. It's the opposite of what government is supposed to do. And so the people who are doing it right and forming their town and providing municipal services and having a sales tax the way that every other city in the state does it are basically losing out by people trying to skirt the system. And it's just completely ridiculous to me. And not only that, their county government is enabling them to do so.
Your views are shared by Steve Kasachek. Are any other council people on board with this?
Everybody's on board. All the council people in Oro Valley are on board. All the people in Sarita are on board. All the people in Moran are on board. We're annoyed. This is baloney.
What are the repercussions?
Vail, Corona del Tucson. There are people in Vail and Corona del Tucson that would love to be a town. There are people in Tanque Verde Valley and Catalina Foothills that would love to be a town. That would solve their problems. If this county wants to solve their budget problems, they should encourage incorporation, not fight it.
What are the repercussions from this, Paul Cunningham?
The worst possible repercussion is that instead of not paying sales tax at La Paloma, you would. I mean, let's be honest. They're all of a sudden that the sales tax that everybody pays in Tucson, they pay outside of Tucson as well. That's about it. By the way, in state shared revenues alone, along with the, what they take in property tax, Catalina Foothills and probably Tanque Verde Valley would run a high surplus in after service delivery compared to the city of Tucson. The city of Tucson general fund has between It's, you know, it varies depending on who you ask, but let's just say if you ballpark it, the city of Tucson has a general fund spend of about $1,050 per capita. Might be a little less, might be a little more, but it's between $1,000 and $1,100, all right? And that's because we have between 520,000 to 550,000 people, and we have a general fund that's ranged from $430 million to $565 million, $556 million over the last 10 years. So we range between high 900s and up to 1100 per capita over the last 10 years. Well, if Catalina Foothills Incorporated, just in their state shared revenues alone, and if they charge the same 2 cents, they'd be running at about 2100, 2300 per capita. And they don't have a bus system to subsidize. They don't have parks. It would be a completely different ballgame for them. They could run and function as a contract city, similar to Surprise or Goodyear. And this is the tax equity issue that my father spent 8 years in the legislature and 6 years at the governor's office protecting Tucson from. And this tax equity issue is one of the reasons why second cities around the country who don't control the capital are left out literally in the cold when it comes to state funding and state development. In fact, we've had situations where we've recruited businesses to Arizona. They say they love Arizona. They say they love Tucson. At the last minute, the state steps in and goes to Phoenix because we don't have the funding for infrastructure and the funding for necessary government needs to bring those surplus jobs here. So for me, this is the great overflow of why this is such a disaster. And you know, I don't want to call anybody out. I think that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So here's what I understand the development is. One, the residential roads in those northeastern areas and a couple areas in between definitely need some attention. They've been long neglected. And this first year of the PAYGO plan is only about $10 million. That PAYGO plan is going to increase to $25, $26 million next year. So for me, I want to be a reasonable guy. I want to be a team player. So I'm going to tell the board, I'm going to tell Mr. Huckleberry in the county, hey, look, you know what? This, for now, take that $10 million and do what you need to do. We get it. You're playing catch-up. But next year, when you allot that $25 million to PAYGO, the city wants its fair share. And that's kind of where I kind of stand right now.
Okay.
And I don't think we need to go to federal court to accomplish that. I don't think we need to do a number of those things. I think that the county is reasonable enough to understand that, hey, in order to be effective, an effective government, city and county, we have to work together. So I get it. I'm willing to say, hey, don't even worry about this year. You guys got to do what you got to do. But next year, you got to come to the table with something better than sweeping $24 million into residential roads only in non-county things.
All right.
And I think if people are working in good faith, we'll have some opportunity there.
All right. Paul Cunningham talking about wanting a seat at the table for the next budgeting year for sure. Paul, stick around. But right now, you know what I want to tell my listeners about. We all need to take a deep breath and think about maybe something like Mona's Danish Bakery and the Danish Kringle. Would that sound pretty good to you right about now?
Best bakery in one of the few places in unincorporated Pima County that I shop.
Thank you very much. Steve is listening, owner and chief baker. There's the testimonial from Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham about Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. Again, my favorite. Ask for the Buckmaster special. That's that chicken breast sandwich, the hot chicken breast with the rustic bread, the Havarti cheese melted, and some of the red bell pepper. Tom is shaking his head yes. Tom, would that be good right now for you for your lunch?
I think so.
And for dessert, either a macaroon or one of the peanut butter cookies would be a very good choice. MonasDanishBakery.com is the website, and we're going to take our break right here. Paul Cunningham will be back. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040 in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a little bit of the music of America, and that's the Tin Man. That's one of my favorite little pieces of bump music. Tom's laughing, but Tom, did you realize that at one time in my career, oh, I don't know, for about, I don't know, 6 months or so, I actually was a DJ?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you toured with America.
No, but so I always like to kind of get into that DJ thing where you talk a little bit up to
anybody who's been in radio for any number of years has got to have served a stint as a DJ.
As a DJ, you bet. With us on the live line, Paul Cunningham, the City of Tucson Democratic Representative in Ward Number 2. Paul, let's move on. I think we covered the pay-as-you-go controversy. How is the new mayor, Raheena Romero, doing as far as you're concerned?
I think she's done a fabulous job so far. She appointed me she selected me to be her vice mayor in her first 9 months, and I was honored to get that selection and be voted by my colleagues. So I've been serving as her vice mayor, and she's really trying to do all the right things for our community. And, make the decisions that are good for us in the long term and in the short term. She's been supportive on two of the job creation programs that I've been working on. She's also been supportive in one of the programs I have to help working families. So I don't have any issues with her performance as mayor thus far, and believe us to be going in the right direction.
Do you like the Million New Tree initiative?
I think it's a great initiative. Again, a lot of people don't. We take that for granted. It sounds kind of corny for some people. And what I'd like to tell them is you do understand that this is how we improve air quality. This is how we counteract some of the damage that's been done. This is how we provide shade. This is how we provide a nuanced attack, a nuts and bolts counter to global warming and to the higher temperatures that exist for that tougher 5 weeks in July. So 5 weeks in June, July, August, you know, that you know, our hot period, our pre-rain hot period in the summer, yeah, which is just brutal. But when you have shade and you have cover and you have higher air quality, it's not as bad. And so that's why I like that initiative, and that's why I'm in favor of it. The other thing she's been working on with me is the impact fee program. I had some misgivings about our current incantation of impact fees and felt that we were going to take too much of a hit long term to do some of the things we need to do. So, look, I'm not saying we need to jam the impact fees so no business gets done, but the impact fees shouldn't be going down by 20% when they've been paying an abbreviated rate for the last 5 years.
Tourism is the lifeblood of Tucson, has been for many, many years. My friend Dan Gibson was on the program Tuesday. He said we've had a really good year. When I say year, our prime time season, the first 2 months, looking very good. Now we've got some sports activities. The Sugar Skulls are going to begin their season. How do you see our tourism picture right now, Paul Cunningham?
Well, you know, the first thing was when I first got into office, we had that empty stadium, High Corbett Field.
Yeah.
And times were tough. It was just not, it was really rough for everyone. And that's when we brought up Major League Soccer. We brought Major League Soccer to Tucson. They're still drawing 50,000 fans every year. They're generating those numbers. We've had record numbers, over spring training numbers, over the last 3 years for the first quarter, 3 years in a row. And this including, and 2020 will be no different. I actually think we'll have an even better March this year because depending on what happens on Super Tuesday, we'll have a significant number of press and campaign activity and volunteers coming around the country to try to see to try to make something happen in Arizona. So I think there's a lot of things that worked our way a couple years ago. You know, sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's just good weather. Sometimes it's not just you can put everything into place. And if there's a blizzard the week before, you know, tough. And so I try to explain that. You know, a few years ago, in props to the Arizona Bowl guys who've done such a great job, but 2 years ago we had a perfect storm where New Mexico State made a bowl game for like the first time in 50 years, and it seemed like the entire state of New Mexico showed up to Tucson for that weekend. And, you know, that sometimes that stuff happens and you get lightning in a bottle. But if you have your steady movers and shakers every year that kind of fill that gap and you can count on them and they're done well. And props to the Conquistadors for putting together another quality golf tournament this week. The Rodeo Committee, who again, year in, year out, delivers the Gem Show, which again is growing every single year. We had great numbers for February, and I look forward to that to carrying over all the way through March. We've even expanded our room base and our number of spots available because we have been at capacity citywide and countywide more often than not, and that used to never happen. So I'm really happy that tourism is meeting that. Part of our tourism is our natural resources, our open space, our undisturbed open space that people love. People enjoy Spino Canyon, the Cienegas, out east to the Reddington, out where the Italian Trap is and the American Canadian Trail goes. the Santa Ritas, the Chiricahua, people like that part of Tucson, and we want to continue to deliver that for them and give them something to be here for. On my last note, I'll say that I'm definitely working to bring us a water park to Tucson. I think it's a long time coming. I'm not sure if it will be something that will lure tourists here, but it may keep tourists here an extra day. And so that's what one of my next pieces is, to try to see if we can have a first-class water park in Tucson, because we have the right weather that that place can operate, you know, 8 months a year.
Where would it be in town?
Well, hopefully in Ward 2, Bill.
Carve out some places the right in Ward 2 for it. There you go. One other note real quickly. International travel is certainly going to take a hit, is taking a hit with the coronavirus. But this could actually help Tucson as far as people deciding not to do the international trip, and they may decide to stay domestically. Because people, Paul Cunningham, are still going to want to go on vacation this summer. You hear what I'm saying? But they may not do the international trip, but they may say, let's go maybe someplace closer to home, like Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, I think the scenarios are endless. You never know what's going to happen. Again, I think our response and the CDC's response to the coronavirus crisis will probably dictate a lot of that. We're going to be there every step of the way. I know that the university is being very proactive in being involved in the research process in order to find a vaccine and develop one. The earliest discussions is that we're about 18 months out, and that will help a lot until the next virus comes along.
But, yeah, there you go. All right,
I think we're doing all the right things.
Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Paul Cunningham. Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
Bill, thanks for having me on. Have a great week. And again, I apologize for last week.
Oh, no problem. We got you on this week. That's the important thing. We'll take our break right now. We call it a hard break. That means right at 31, it's CBS Network News now.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
All righty, welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're just a few seconds away from 12:36 on a very pleasant Thursday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice. Green Things is our go-to place for everything green. I can't believe it. 50-year anniversary this year. 50 years and still growing. I like that. They're growing over at Green Things at 3384 East River Road. And they have expanded that property, not just by enhancing what they've got with the 13 acres, but Jan and Jack, the owners, their acquisition of Zocalo was a big boost to their operation. Zocalo, all that great collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, all sorts of beautiful things at Zocalo Village. So it's a twofer. You get your green plants and your beautiful things for the home. GreenThingsAZ.com, ZocaloVillage.com. Let's go now to the state capitol and State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro, Democrat representing Sahuarita, the second legislative district. Senator D'Alessandro, how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Bill.
You have been at the state legislature, I believe, first elected in 2014. How do you compare this session? Is this the most stressful session you have been involved in?
Well, I've been in the Senate since 2014, but I started in the House in 2013. I have found it to be when I got promoted when Linda Lopez resigned, but I've been in the Senate since 2014. I have found it to be the very, very most political of all the 8 years. And today we approved bridges in practically all Republican districts. voter suppression bills that have gone through or are in the process of going through are disturbing. Yesterday we had a big fight about ESA, Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, which are really vouchers, expanding that. And the voters, you know, in 2018, they spoke loud and clear, overwhelmingly did not want ESA expansion, but you know, it went forward yesterday, despite our good arguments against it. I'm seeing tax credit after tax credit after tax credit, and yesterday I got up and just said, you know, we have more than 1,800 classrooms without fully certified teachers. They don't have full certification, so you might have a substitute in a math class. That is totally unacceptable. We have issues with prison health care, and the Parsons case has brought that to my attention. I did meet with the Department of Correction Executive Director yesterday because he's up for Senate Judiciary Committee's approval, you know, next week, and I have high hopes that there'll be some changes. We also, you know what Tucson and Pima County is like. We have needs for the disabled community, for the area agency on aging, Pima Council on Aging, and Adult Protective Services. We have a lot of vulnerable people, and it is our job to take care of them. And that's been overlooked for a long time, and yet they have money to do tax credits, tax cuts. And I have an electric vehicle, but they want to raise the annual tax on my electrical vehicle by $110 a year.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What in the world?
Well, you know, this is, you know, really clever. Senator J.D. Mesnard had a tax omnibus bill, and it had increasing taxes for people who own electric vehicles and hybrids, and cutting taxes on some corporations and individuals. So usually when we have a tax increase, it requires a two-thirds majority of the legislature, but because it was a package, an omnibus package, with increases and decreases, that law doesn't apply. So I said it gave me acid indigestion, and it was very clever.
I want to get to your Medicare bill. Is that going anywhere, the bill that would...
Unfortunately, we were hoping, I was already Monday to amend it onto a bill that dealt with pre-existing conditions, but unfortunately, for the time being, it's dead. We will reintroduce it again because, you know, people are 65, they can go to any Medigap plan without regard to pre-existing conditions, but thanks to a constituent, I learned that if you change plans, if you have a pre-existing condition, you have to pay a lot more. Mm-hmm. Who at 65 doesn't have a pre-existing condition?
Just about every, like 99.9% of the public has a pre-existing condition.
Exactly.
So it sounds like here you're very, very frustrated with the partisanship of this session.
Yes, I mean, you know, but in truth, you know, we do cooperate. There's been a few good bills, expanded education for suicide prevention for teachers and guidance counselors and other staff members. But, you know, a lot of the stuff we vote on, you know, 80-90% we all agree on. It's just the 10% with the, you know, with the, you know, tax cuts, voter suppression, with the census coming up. That's a big issue. One of the senators wants all of the districts to be pretty even in population within 5,000 people. And that's really hard because, you know, my district is a minority-majority district, and the largest part of our population in Arizona that's undercounted in census in 2010 was Latino children. So with the federal setting of having, you know, initially having the citizenship question, which has been struck down, I learned that 56% of adults think that the citizenship question is going to be on the census. And I call that unintended, you know, de facto census suppression, you know, because some people, especially households with mixed status, will be leery to fill out the census form. And that's very important. It's important that every person, like the Constitution said, every person needs to be counted and to get the proper federal appropriations, money coming into Arizona that's much needed.
State Senator Andrea D'Alessandro with us, Democrat from Sahuarito. What's the talk of the coronavirus up at the legislature?
Well, not. I mean, I know the governor made a statement. My seatmate Daniel Hernandez sent me the report from Pima County. I have more confidence in Pima County health than I do in state or national, quite truthfully. You know, because the response will need to be national, statewide, and local.
And the session will probably go to about Memorial Day. Is that what you're hearing?
I don't know. It seems like there were challenges when we didn't have money. Now we do have increased money, and it's just sad to me. Someone said I let my New Jersey come into a speech I gave on the floor yesterday. I said, knock it off with the tax cuts.
You grew up in New Jersey. You're a native of New Jersey.
Yes, that's right.
And moved here when? In 19...
2004. Okay. 2004 to retire, and this is what's happened to me.
There you go. I hope your indigestion is better after... keep those Tums handy, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Senator D'Alessandro. Thanks.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Andrea D'Alessandro is a Democrat from Sahuarita in representing the 2nd District, giving us an update on what's going on or maybe not going on at the Arizona State Legislature. Up next, Your Vote, Your Voice 2020. It's our candidate interview series. Our focus will turn to Congressional District Number 2 right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. A great time to take a road trip as spring comes to the high country. It's only about a 3-hour drive from the Tucson area over to a beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, a beautiful area of the southwest United States. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. That's a good starting place before you take your road trip. You'll find all sorts of great information about what to do and where to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over there, people who have never been in that part of the world, and they say it's a great place to just kind of kick back and get away. We continue now with our Your Vote, Your Voice 2020 candidate interview series here on the Buckmaster Show. All of our candidate interview series interviews are being posted at kind of a clearinghouse at kvoi.com. You'll be able to check out not only the interviews from my program, but from Wake Up Tucson and from Zach Yenzer's Tipping Point program. So between the three of us, we've got you covered for this upcoming election. Shea Stouts is with us. Shea is the one of the candidates running for Congressional District 2, a Republican. Shea, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you want to be a United States Congressman representing Arizona's 2nd District.
So it's a great question. Thanks, Bill. So as many of your listeners will know, I'm from Tucson. I grew up here. In fact, my father coached basketball at Sarita High School. My mother was an administrator at the University of Arizona. I know something that you and I share in common as well. My parents thought it was a little bit odd that at 12 years old, I knew I was a Reagan Republican.
Wow.
And so I've got a long history with that. I went to Palo Verde High School and, you know, grew up just a couple of blocks from Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. I did actually go to the University of Arizona for a short period of time before I earned an internship with Arizona Congressman Mo Udall's office in D.C., and that got me started on a path towards public service. I learned I was the only conservative on Mo's staff, and they had me working on national security issues, which is also something that continued through the rest of my career. I then went on to work for U.S. Senator Robert Casten, a good U of A alum, senator from Wisconsin, before I transferred into Georgetown University and got a master's in national security from Georgetown, which I put to good use working on Capitol Hill for our nation's defense industry. And that was before I was called back to Tucson 13 years ago to work for the University of Arizona as their associate VP for federal relations.
And you were back in D.C. a lot under that job, right?
I was back and forth. I lived in Tucson for most of that time, in fact. So I wasn't a permanent member of the D.C. citizenry, but I've been back here now, and in fact, I'm living in the house I grew up in.
Oh, are you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you also did a stint at ASU?
I did. I spent a couple of years working at ASU at performing similar functions, but really focused on bringing federal money back to the state of Arizona. And in Tucson, as you know better than anybody, Bill, that means funds from the $50 million in federal student aid that the U of A gets on an annual basis to the nearly $650 million in federal research funds that the U of A competes for annually.
Do you think you are the best qualified candidate in this field?
Of course, I think that's true. I've engaged with every single member of the Arizona congressional delegation going back for years. I've also watched every congressional race here in CD2 since, including Jim Golby's races. And so I've seen what's worked, what hasn't worked, and there's no question that on day one of the job, I can hit the ground running.
What kind of issues are you, when you're getting out and talking to people, what seems to be emerging? What do people want to talk about?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been surprised. We've had the turmoil, and I have a very particular opinion about the impeachment process. We've got coronavirus going on right now, as I heard from your previous segments.
Yep.
But what people want to talk about is jobs. And so that's something that I'm very focused on. And I'm finding that my competitors in the Republican primary aren't focused on and don't really know how a member of Congress can, in fact, support the jobs as they exist and the job generators here in Southern Arizona. I'll give you just a quick example of this, Bill. So if you look at the concentration of jobs in big institutional employers, right, you've got the largest employer in Southern Arizona is the University of Arizona, 17,000 jobs. Next, you've got Raytheon Missile Systems at 13,000 jobs, then Davis-Monthan Air Force Base at 8,500 jobs, and then Fort Huachuca at 6,500 jobs. Mm-hmm. All told, that's about 50,000 jobs, and those numbers fluctuate from year to year, of course. All four of those employers have a strong federal or government connection, and it is the job, in my opinion, of a member of Congress to both support those jobs and to grow them.
This is a district that's gone back and forth, as you know, as you followed it with Republicans and Democrats. It's pretty much,
It's a district that can go either way. If you emerge from the primary and take on Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, who we wish, by the way, Shay, and I know you feel the same way, we wish her all the best. Congresswoman Kirkpatrick was back on the job, I understand, yesterday after her treatment for alcoholism, and we all wish her the best. What will be the issue if you're going head-to-head with Ann?
So I think jobs is going to be one of those issues. I think support for President Trump, along with a long list. But before I go through that litany of lists, let me just reiterate. You're absolutely right. My wife, Shay, and I issued a statement of support for Ann upon her announcement. I do wish her very well. I'm very sympathetic to those with addiction issues, and many of your listeners will know that my own brother passed away just a few short years ago due to an opioid overdose himself.
And I'm so sorry.
Miss him dearly, and so I'm very sympathetic to those with this issue. So I'm glad Ann got the help that she needs, and I hope she'll continue to seek it. In terms of the issues where Ann and I disagree on things, and this is that head-to-head conversation that I think you alluded to. Mm-hmm. Jobs is one of those things, but support for higher education, national and border security is an important distinction, as is consistent and activist advocacy on behalf of increased mental health services for the broader population, but also services in general for our veteran population. We have 100,000 veterans here in Southern Arizona that aren't getting the services that they need.
As far as the future of the A-10?
So I've been very active on this. I don't know, Bill, if you know that I'm on the board for the Southern Arizona Defense Alliance, and I was actually asked by our Senate delegation to get involved with SEDA and with the DM-50, the Huachuca 50, and the Yuma 50. And for 7 years, I organized and led delegations of senior Southern Arizona leaders back to Washington to advocate for our military installations here, not just DM, but also Fort Huachuca and the two Yuma installations. And for a long time, the A-10 was one of the top issues that we, of course, discussed. In many ways, we need to be careful. The Air Force is the Air Force needs to decide what aircraft we actually fly out of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And so whether that's the A-10 or whether we have a transition to the F-35 over time, and I'm confident that is actually going to happen, we need to be sure that if the Air Force is talking about retiring A-10s, and I know that the budget proposal for the president for FY21 calls for the retirement of 44 reserve A-10s, we need to be sure that we understand what the Pentagon's plan is for replacing those aircraft at our installation here, because Davis-Monthan is without peer in the Air Force in terms of a base that's co-located to military testing ranges and also has all the other additional advantages, such as 300-plus days a year of clear flying weather.
Shay, I'm going to have to wrap it up here. What is Shay a nickname?
Nope. Shay is my name, it's
family
S-H-A-Y.
Name or what?
I can't tell you. My parents actually never told me how they came to it, but it's worthy of note. My wife's name is also Shay.
I heard you say that Shay and I, when you were saying wish Congresswoman Kirkpatrick the best, and I thought, I wonder if he just had a slip of the tongue there.
No.
Her name is Shay as well?
Although I will claim a slip of the tongue about this bill. So
okay.
I like to say I spell it the right way. I spell it S-H-A-Y, and my wife is S-H-A-E.
Wow. All right. Shay Stouts, and that is going to wrap it up. People can find out more about you where?
At ShayStoutsForCongress.com.
Okay.
And I encourage folks to connect with me on Facebook as well.
Yep. Okay, Shay, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Stouts and our engineer-producer, Tom Fairbanks, everybody wants to wish you a very safe and pleasant afternoon and evening from Bustos Media here in Tucson. We've got the Dave Ramsey Show, which is doing very well for us here on 1030 The Voice. A lot of listeners for the Dave Ramsey Show. He's one of America's most popular national talk shows hosts, and that's coming up next. Have a great afternoon.